Hello everyone. How are you all going? Good to see you all. Welcome to any visitors we may have. You are our guests and you know we really would love to catch up with you out there, so don't run off after the service. It's good to be in church, isn't it? Yeah, and the weather's good as well, so that helps. Yeah. Such wonderful worship this morning. That last song, my goodness, it's so anointed. There's just something about that. We could keep going all day. Forget the preaching. We could just keep going with that. So we're in week two of a three-part series on building healthy relationships. Who wants to build a healthy relationship? Who's got some messed up relationships? A few people, right? Who's the reason why their relationships are messed up? Thank you for your honesty, Mel. Mel and Deb are the reason why their relationships are messed up. Everyone has got a blind spot. So there are things about yourself that you don't know, that other people see. But you know, as Christians, we are under a different system. So we do things differently. You know, when we're praying that salvation prayer, we talk about come into my life and take over, be Lord of my life. Sometimes we say that, but don't necessarily fully appreciate the implications of that. When we say that he is Lord, we're basically saying take over. He's taking over. And so as we go through this relationship series, we want to give him lordship of our relationships. Because if we do it our own way, we'll always have messed up relationships, and we don't want that. Pastor Stephen did a really good job last week. If you didn't hear the message, you can actually watch the free mental version of it on YouTube. Or I think we do the podcasts here as well, so you can listen to the podcast. But some key things from his message that I really liked. He talked about how, as a parent, you want your children to have a smooth transition through life, and that similarly, God wants us to have peace and freedom as his children. And he talked about a man who is at war with himself will be at war with everyone else. And he said, if you're constantly being triggered, then maybe it's time to seek professional help. Who's ever been triggered? Who knows what being triggered means? You do? Do you all know what being triggered is? Someone just has to say something and you just fly off the handle. Or you shut down. Or you just have this reaction and people think, what's the big deal? That's being triggered. Usually when you react like that, it means there's some unresolved issues. Some that you may not be aware of. So if you're constantly being triggered, consider professional help. Speak to a counselor, a psychologist, psychiatrist, someone, a friend. He also talked about we are not called to win arguments. We are called to win souls. That's really powerful, right? We're not called to win arguments. And then he talked about relational barriers. He had some really good points to make. So today my focus is to talk about how as Christians we are to handle points of disagreement and still maintain healthy relationships. So why bother talking about relationships in church? Like why not just go to a relationship seminar or something? And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. There's some good courses out there. It's because relationships are an integral part of human existence. We are all in relationship with each other right now in different ways. But by virtue of being part of this congregation, we are in relationship with each other. And God is a relational God. The Bible says that while you were in your mother's womb, he knew you, right? And he also wants you to know him. He sent Jesus Christ to the cross because he wanted to change the relationship that he had with us. Until Jesus Christ went to the cross, our relationship, the relationship between God and humanity was kind of distant. We needed a middleman. So he sent Jesus to the cross and that changed that relationship because he's a relational God. And then when Christ left the earth, He said he had to leave because the helper would come, the Holy Spirit. That changed the relationship as well. It increased the depth of access that we had to God because he's a relational God. Our emotional stability is very much affected by how functional or dysfunctional our relationships are. Think about the last time your emotions were all over the place. Whether it was anger, frustration, joy. Did it have to do something with someone? Was there somebody involved? Yes or no? It involved another human being. So our emotional stability is very much influenced by other people. The Bible says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers do what? Dwell together in unity. But the Bible also tells us that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he destroys through disunity. So when we have disagreements, when we have frictions, they have the potential to derail us from the purposes of God for our lives. We no longer focus on the kingdom of God and what God wants to do. Because now, all of a sudden, we're having to focus on disagreements. Psychologists tell us that relationships are considered healthy when there's trust, when there's honesty, and when there's respectful communication, where there's clear boundaries, where there's empathy, where there's good listening skills, where we can find common ground. And we also know from the work of the Gottmans, who are marriage counselors, marriage experts actually, that people don't divorce because they're having arguments. Having arguments is not what predicts whether or not people end in divorce. It's actually the nature of the disagreement. Where there is disrespect, where there is emotional shutdowns, where there is defensiveness, where there is contempt and sarcasm. That's how we end up in that place. So if you're taking notes, the title of my message today is, It's Complicated. It's complicated. Who knows relationships are complicated? They're complicated. They're not simple. They're not straightforward. There's unusual dynamics. You don't get along with people. You get along with some. People trigger you, like we've already said. And then there's some relationships where for a while there you got along, everything was wonderful. And then there was a psychological injury that then caused a rift. For some, the issue gets resolved. For some, it never gets resolved because it's complicated. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 verse 18 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Who loves peace here? Who loves peace when you've been offended? Okay, the number went down very quickly. Which is to be expected, right? When you've been offended, you don't love peace as much. And we all have different definitions of peace, don't we? And we're all influenced by our past, how we respond to conflict in our relationships. So that scripture, for some people, will be like, that's easy, especially if you are a peace-loving person, like Donovan here. Right, Janine? He's a peace-loving man. Okay, she doesn't agree. Yes, I think most couples would, agree that they're not so sure that their partner is peace-loving. I would describe myself as a peace-loving, non-confrontational person who likes to get along with everyone and likes to accommodate everyone. But I mentioned this in Fremantle that my husband would not agree. He thinks, yeah, where is he? Oh, they, okay, I'm just going to continue. So, Romans 12, 18. So some people will find it easy and others will find it difficult. And those who find it difficult are those who feel justified in their anger. Where there's been misunderstandings, where there's been tensions, where there's been offenses, different of opinions. It's always possible to live at peace if you know what your role is. But the problem is, for a lot of us, we don't know what our role is. And the reason why we don't know what our role is that we don't tend to go to God about it. For a lot of people, when we get offended, the first thing we do is pick up the phone and call someone. And then we call another person. And then another. Then eventually, we'll pray about it. After we've gotten it all out of our system. And the problem with calling all these different people is that everyone gives you their opinion, right? About what they think you should do. But once again, as Christians, we're under a specific standard. The minute you say, Lord, I want you to take over, it means that you're saying you want to be led by a different standard. And the standard is Christ. Which means the way that we deal with conflict says there should be no pride. We should admit wrongdoing. Should apologize. Don't take offense. Don't hold on to unforgiveness. This is a hard thing. There's some teachings where Jesus would teach and some disciples would walk away because they would say, this is a hard teaching. But that's Christianity for you. It's a hard teaching to say we should forgive, especially if you think they don't deserve my forgiveness. But we forget, don't we, that we have been forgiven. And we'll tend to say, well, it's Jesus. Jesus can forgive. I can't. But he was 100% God, 100% man. So we can forgive if we choose to. But a lot of the time we don't want to choose to because we feel like we're going to lose something. Or we feel like we're going to be abused again. We don't want to be taken advantage of. Because what happens is when you get offended by someone, for a lot of us, we get to a resolution. We make a decision. We make a decision to say, never again will they do that to me. Except God is not in on that deal we're making. It's just us and us. Me, myself, and I. 2 Timothy 2:23 talks about don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. So this is still a standard for us as Christians. That there's some conversations you should not be part of as a Christian. You know, when I was younger, I always thought if I had an opinion, I had to express it. Who feels that way? Even now. Yeah? Thank you for your honesty. You don't always have to express your opinion. That's where God comes in. Because it says God fights our battles. We sing that song, don't we? Jehovah Nissi fights our battles. What does that look like at a practical level? You get offended by someone, you don't have to fight that battle. So the scripture says, if it is possible, live at peace. Meaning, sometimes it's not possible to live at peace. It's not possible to live at peace if there is no recognition from someone of their wrongdoing. Or they keep repeating the offense over and over and there's no remorse. There's some people like that. They keep offending over and over and over and over again. But someone might say, but Jesus says, how many times forgive 70 times 7? But how do you interpret that? Does forgiving mean you get back into relationship with that person? They're two different things. So forgiveness is a very interesting, complex, touchy subject, especially for people who have been hurt a lot, abused. So we have to be very careful how we talk about it. But at the end of the day, we have been commanded to forgive. But it's the Father who forgives. Father, forgive them. That's what he said at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, I am forgiving them. So sometimes we struggle with forgiveness because we think we have to work up the strength. We say things like, I'm just not ready to forgive. I just don't feel like forgiving. You're never going to feel like forgiving. You're never really going to feel ready to forgive because you're a human being. That's the flesh. The flesh won't be ready. The flesh wants revenge. Who's ever wanted revenge? You've made plots? Okay. Yes. Christy and Jesse there? Yes, Pastor Charlie? Real bad revenge. Okay. Yeah, I won't ask what kind of things people want to do, you know, because we might get in trouble with the law. But yeah, obviously, when people have offended you, hurt you, you want to revenge. But we're under different government. That's if you are a Christian, and that's if you want lordship of Christ. You see, it's easy to say it, but to live it is something different. But I think sometimes what we miss is all these things that we've been commanded to do, it was never meant to be in our own strength. Because we're human beings, we can't do it. We need God, we need the Holy Spirit, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But we still want to do it in our own strength. Sometimes it's not possible to forgive when it's matters of conviction. It's not possible to live in peace, whichever way you define peace, if it means you have to compromise the truth, especially the truth of God's word. And sometimes you may have two sides where people disagree on an issue, where one person sees it one way and another sees it another way, and both think they're right. Have you ever been in that situation where both of you think you're right? Yes? Both of you think you're right. Do you know what I think the biggest problem we have as Christians is? Biggest problem that would solve a lot of problems? Pride. I think it's pride. And the thing about pride is that it's what led to Satan falling like lightning. He led it, and we follow. God hates pride. He really hates it with a passion. But that's what drives a lot of our actions. When I first came to Australia many years ago, I used to be shocked at, you know, hearing. There's two things that used to shock me. The first one was I would be walking around and I would see people do this thing. They would open their mouth, show you their teeth, and 3 seconds later, the teeth are gone. Okay, that's confusing, right? I called it a fake smile. It was like, I had never seen that anywhere else until I came here. Like, people would do that. And years later, I started doing it. I was like, you know, it was just convenient. I figured, okay, people are so busy, they can't be bothered giving you a full smile. But it was a culture shock. But the other thing that was a culture shock was hearing how people had not been in contact with their family members for 10, 15, 20 years. not spoken to a parent, not spoken to a sibling. I didn't understand it. But then many years later, I had an interesting experience with a friend who I was very close to. She was an older lady, you know, and she welcomed me into the country, from the same country as me, welcomed me, and she was just lovely, fellow Christian. We prayed together, we believed God together. And then we had a disagreement. She thought, I made a decision that she did not agree with, and I had a problem with the fact that she had a problem with my decision. And so for a number of years, there was just this rift between us. Our communication was surface level. And then it wasn't until this year that we reconnected. And it was special. I attended her wedding after many, many years of, that's something she had believed for over 20 years. But after attending that wedding, during my time with the Lord, I heard him say, you need to apologize to her. And I could not believe the Lord would do that to me. I tend to take things personally when God whispers things. I'm like, Lord, I thought you and I were 5 minutes? Yeah? Was that 5 minutes? Okay, all right, we've got a problem. 5 minutes, I don't know. Thanks, Andrew. So it felt unfair. It hurt my sense of pride. But what did we say about pride? Not good. We don't need it. Anyway, I knew it was the Lord, so I apologized. I apologized. I sent a message, and she called me, and we had this long conversation. We ironed things out. It felt so wrong. It felt wrong in my flesh. It felt so right in my spirit. My flesh thought, that's just not right. She is still wrong. But what standard are you following? We find an interesting story in the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Up to 40, 41. It says, after spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. This is Paul and Barnabas. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Some time later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This was confusing. We just read that the Apostle Paul said, live at peace with everyone. Now he's just had a sharp disagreement and parted ways with Barnabas. So was Paul hypocritical and contradicting himself? How did John Mark feel about being at the center of this split between Barnabas and Paul? How did Barnabas feel about Paul insisting that John Mark couldn't go? I just imagine, you know, when it says it was a sharp disagreement, I don't think they were just standing there just smiling at each other and just talking. I'm imagining that tempers were up. If we just allow our imagination, right? If you've ever been in a sharp disagreement, if you've ever been in a disagreement, you know that something happens in your body, right? You can feel that you're getting angry. But this was a sharp disagreement. So this was next level, right? But the interesting thing between these two people is Paul was a radical. Barnabas also known as son of encouragement, he would have been quite the opposite. Background on these two men, Paul had a radical conversion. He used to persecute Christians. He killed people. He arrested people. But his conversion was also radical. Jesus himself appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he said, "Why, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He was blinded for 3 days. And then afterwards, when he got his sight back, he was never the same. Not many people have had a conversion like that one. So his conversion changed his life completely. But then when he started preaching the gospel, people were skeptical. People were afraid of Paul. They didn't want to accept him. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, was the one who stood in the gap for Paul. He's the one who vouched for him. He's the one who went and said, "No, this guy is for real. He really has been converted." In fact, at one of the prayer meetings they had, the Holy Spirit came down and the apostles were told, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." They were called together. They went on mission trips together. They did life together. So I'm imagining that they were close. So this sharp disagreement was not a joke. This was serious. I want you to imagine two people that you may know who are, I'm sorry to use this word because I can't find any other phrase to use, but big shots in the Christian world. Big shots, that's the best phrase I could find. Imagine two there. We've got Pastor Charlie there. Okay, so we've got one big shot there. And then we've got another big shot here. Oh, okay. Robert says Pastor Stephen. Okay. We've got Pastor Charlie and then Pastor Stephen there. Thanks, Robert. And there's this sharp disagreement. We're just in church and then they're over there and they have this sharp disagreement and then they go their separate way. Pastor Stephen takes Donovan. Yes, on a mission trip. Pastor Charlie takes Jeff. Yeah, they go their separate ways. But I want you to imagine how you're all left feeling. The worship team continues. What are you going to do? What are you going to be thinking about? Are you going to be raising your hands and saying, "God is good, God is wonderful. Behold how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity"? No. So I'm imagining that this caused a lot of big issues for the church. We don't hear a lot about that, but you can kind of infer that's what happened. But the thing is this, for Paul, this was more than a difference of opinion. It reminded me of when Jesus went into the temple and overturned the tables because he was so angry at what people were doing in the church. So there was a righteous anger. And that's what I believe happened here with Paul. There was this righteous anger. He's like, "You want us to take who? John Mark? The same John Mark who deserted us on a missions trip? The same John Mark who was supposed to lead worship and then we had to find somebody else?" He didn't have to lead worship. That's just what I made up. But I'm just saying, if you're going on a missions trip, you have duties. He deserted them. Theologians have different reasons as to why he left. Some say the work was too much, the persecution was too much, he couldn't handle it. Some say he didn't agree with the decision Paul made. It doesn't matter. The thing is, he left. And so there was a gap there. So Paul was not having any of it. And I understand it from both perspectives. I understand it from Paul's perspective because he's like, "I can't rely on this person. He's not loyal. What if he does it again?" Have you ever had that? Where you trusted someone, you believed in someone, you thought they stood for something and then they didn't, and then they come back. And then you have to trust them. Barnabas, on the other hand, the son of encouragement, right? Because there's two camps. Some of us here are radical like Paul. They're like one chance and one strike and you're out. Some people are like Barnabas. They're like, "Just give him another chance." That's me. Give him another chance. You know, the love of God. That's son of encouragement. But there's four key things I wanted to highlight as we finish about lessons we can learn from this story of how to handle points of disagreement. Because that's the question. How are we supposed to handle points of disagreement to maintain healthy relationships? Number one, be honest with people, especially about your convictions. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be honest about who you are. Half of us people don't know we're Christians because we don't talk about it, because we don't want to offend people. But have you ever noticed how people who are not necessarily Christian will do whatever they have to do, and they're not shying away and saying, oh, we don't want the Christians to see us. They live their lives. So be honest with people about your convictions. You will ruffle some feathers. You will become unpopular. But you'll be free to be who God has called you to be. Paul was called to suffer for the gospel. Christ said, you will suffer. That was what was on his life. And he lived his life like that. So even in his splitting, he didn't really care because he was willing to suffer. Number two, we have to recognize that trust is crucial in a relationship. If you've ever been in a relationship where there's no trust, you know you can't move forward. You can't move forward, you can't plan, you can't set goals when you're in a relationship with somebody you don't trust. Paul had no confusion about his stance and why he took that stance. He didn't think it wise to take John Mark because he didn't trust him. Thirdly, relationships can be seasonal and they can evolve. Barnabas started off as Paul's mentor. When you read the scripture, you hear Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas, and then somewhere there's a shift, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. There was a shift. So relationships evolve and relationships are seasonal. Some people are in your life because of the season of life you're in. But some people will leave your life, and sometimes we have to allow people to leave. Don't hang on to a relationship that God wants you to let go of. Something really good to note, Paul ended up mending somehow his relationship with Barnabas. No, not with Barnabas, with John Mark. We can assume with Barnabas as well. In 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, only Luke is with me. This is his letter to Timothy. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. And there's other scriptures that show that there was some kind of reconciliation. So relationships can get back, although this apparently was about 12 years later. So sometimes there will be a rift in a relationship you have with someone. You don't have to force things, but there is one thing you have to do. Check your heart. If you're holding on to bitterness and your heart is not pure, then you still have unfinished business with God. Finally, a lesson we learn is this. The gospel must go on. Disagreement with others doesn't mean that the work of the gospel has to end. It says that he went through Syria and Cilicia strengthening the church. Pastor Charlie and Jeff went on to strengthen the church, despite the fact that Pastor Charlie and Pastor Stephen had this sharp disagreement. So just because you've had a disagreement or there's been tensions, it doesn't mean that you can't go on. So, if we're going to have healthy relationships, then we must be willing to have honest, authentic, and necessary conversations. I'm conscious of time, so I'm just going to go to the last bit about necessary conversations. There's some conversations you need to have. There's some people you need to go talk to. Some people here, you need to go talk to your boss. Some people you need to go and talk to your spouse. Some need to go speak to your children. Some you need to go talk to your parents. Some need to go and talk to your pastor. You need to go and have these conversations. Because if you don't, then you're living a fake fake life. It's only a matter of time it will catch up with you. So we have to use our voices to speak up and confront issues. We have to use our ears to hear what's really going on. We have to see people through God's eyes and love. And when we do that, we will have more authentic relationships. We will have a healthier church. And as a result, we will fulfill the purposes of God in our lives because we're not carrying baggage. Some of the baggage you're carrying, you don't need to be carrying it. Sometimes there's some things we pray about that we don't really need to pray about. Because really, you're meant to pray about things that you cannot do anything about. Half the stuff we take to God, we can do something about. We just don't want to. God, just help me. I don't know how to forgive this person. It's a decision. God, I don't know how to talk. Give me the ability to talk to that person. It's just a matter of opening your mouth and talking. It's literally a decision. But because of our stubbornness and our pride, we don't want to do it. So what do? We give it to God, in quotation marks. So I'll get you to stand up. I just want to pray, but it would be remiss of me to finish this without saying the one thing that is really a big issue for us as a church, as Christians, because we're talking about growing healthy relationships. One thing that Christians do, that we do as Christians, that's really not good, is we don't know how to live well. We don't know how to live relationships well, especially church relationships. We actually ghost people. Do you know what that means, to ghost people? You do? Yes. We just disappear on people. Have you ever been there and you just hear, oh, so-and-so left 3 weeks ago? Oh, really? I didn't know that. I just thought they were on holiday. They've left to go to another church. Do you know what the problem with that is? When you don't live well, you take yourself with you. That's the problem. And so whatever you're carrying, you're going to plant it in that next place. Whatever unresolved. So that's not to say you don't have issues. That's not to say you have not been offended. But learn to live well. Don't ghost people. Respect that God loves his church. And he says, I will build my church. Sometimes people think by leaving one church and going to another church, I no longer have to deal with those people. Guess what? Those people are your brothers and sisters. It's the kingdom of God. And so we have to think kingdom. That's important. So just want to pray. I just want to pray that we would have godly wisdom. I want to pray that we would have guidance on what part we need to play in order to live at peace with those in our lives. And I want to pray about blockages to trust, because I believe that there are people here who have some serious trust issues, understandably so. If that is you and you really want prayer around that, please feel free to come to the front for more prayer. But I'm just going to pray. Father, we just thank you. You know, the Bible talks about, Jesus was going about healing, performing miracles. And then he saw the crowds of followers, the crowds of Christians, the crowds of C3 Kwinana. He saw the crowds. And it says that he was filled with compassion because he saw that they were helpless, that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Except he is the shepherd. But when he looks at us, it's like we are sheep without a shepherd. We are helpless. And he has compassion on us. And I just want you to know this afternoon that the way that God sees you is with a heart of compassion, nothing else. The shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. He wept because he has compassion. And so this afternoon, I just want you to take this one thing with you. He loves you. He has compassion for you. He wants the best for you. He wants healthy relationships for you. But you have got to do your part. And part of that is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And let God fight your battles for you. Jehovah Nissi fights the battle. We have to let go. You can't say he is Lord and then go out and fight your own battles. It doesn't work. It's either you surrender to him or you don't. The children of Israel asked for a king. He never wanted them to have a king. But he said, there you go. In my language, we have a saying. You won't understand it, but I'll say it and explain it. It says, Wana ha lelela lekhodu o le monele. It means when a child cries for something that they shouldn't have, give it to them. When they insist on crying. Now, what that actually means is that sometimes people will beg for things that they really shouldn't be begging for. They'll ask for things that they shouldn't be having. And you just have to let them be. Sometimes that's what God does with us. He lets us have things that he would rather not give to us. But because we're begging, be careful what you're begging God for. What we really should be begging for is a broken spirit. And so, Lord, that is my prayer this afternoon for every single one of us in this house, that we would have a broken spirit, Lord. Your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn away from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and that he will heal. Father, I pray for healing for everyone here in whatever area they need it, especially in the area of relationships. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this message will not fall on rocky ground. I pray that this is a seed that will grow and that it will have generational impact. I know we're out of time, but could you please play that song that you guys did before? I just sense that, you know, that we just have to allow the Spirit of God to just work in our hearts. That last song that you did. Church, just open up your arms and just let God work in your heart like only he can. And as they sing this song, believe God. By faith, believe that you are receiving something. Believe that God is dropping something in your spirit. Hallelujah. And just receive it by faith. Hallelujah.